Well, we last week and this week, we've had the pleasure of having Bruce with us. He is filling in for Kevin while they were in Africa. And so I'm very excited. Enjoyed his message last week and excited to hear his message this week. And it's interesting. I call it, well, Bob likes to call it a God wink. We've heard a lot about forgiveness this morning. And I do believe Bruce is going to be bringing us a message about forgiveness. So, Bruce, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, how forgiving are you? If someone were to hurt you, would you be more likely to turn the other cheek or slash their tires? Well, good morning, and I am Bruce Slagle, a minister of administration at Heath Church of Christ, and I'm happy to be with you, but to be honest, I don't know why I'm here. You know, we've had two great meditations this morning on forgiveness. So, you don't even need me this morning. But anyhow, I'm sure you're looking forward to Kevin and Denise being back from Africa. But let me ask you this morning, would you classify yourself as a cheeker or a slasher? On a more serious note, listen to this story. In 1993, a mother lost her only son when Hoshea Israel shot him during an argument at a party. Initially, she wanted to see him serve for the crime that he had committed, and he did. He served 17 years and was released from jail and returned to his old neighborhood. In fact, right next door to this lady. And this was not an accident. Mary had been overcome by a conviction to forgive him. And so she had done that. But not only was she able to forgive him, she had helped him during his time in prison. And when he was released, she gave glory to God for her ability to forgive such a tragedy. And she stated, "Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out." So this morning, I'd like for you to think of someone who has deeply hurt you. A friend, a spouse, a family member, or maybe a coworker. Who comes to your mind? Who has deeply hurt you? Now, with that person in mind, as honestly as possible, how would you respond to these following statements from the Greater Good Science Center, who did a study on forgiveness? Do you disagree or agree with these following statements? So here we go, and be honest. "I'll make them pay." Was that how you would respond? Do you strongly disagree? Disagree? Maybe? Do you agree? Or strongly agree? "I keep as much distance between us as possible. I wish that something terrible would happen to them." Do you strongly agree with that? Do you strongly disagree with that? How do you respond? "I'll live as if they don't exist or aren't around. I don't trust them. I want them to get what they deserve. I find it difficult to be nice to them. I'll go out of my way to avoid them." What do you think? You strongly disagree so far? You disagree? Are you neutral? Do you agree or do you strongly agree with these responses? The survey goes on. "I'll go out of my way to avoid them. I'm going to get even. I'll cut off my relationship with them. I want to see them hurt and miserable. I'll withdraw from them." You strongly disagree? You disagree? Maybe? You agree or strongly agree with these statements? All right. If you're leaning on the agree side, then we're in trouble. You've got a problem. And I'm guessing that this little quiz reveals to all of us this morning that we have a problem with forgiveness. Most Americans say that they desire more forgiveness in their lives, but they're actually pretty critical in choosing who to forgive. According to the study by the Fraser Institute, 62% of adults say that they need more forgiveness in their lives. And 94% wanted to see more forgiveness in our country. However, researchers have found that more than half of those surveyed say there are situations where people should never be forgiven, including abuse, sexual crimes, murder, and other intentionally committed crimes. The survey found also that most believe that forgiveness is conditional. 60% said forgiving someone would first depend on the offender apologizing and making changes. Would you agree that we have a lot more to do when it comes to forgiveness? The current series of sermons here is Foundational Jesus, and it's helpful to focus on the life and teachings of Jesus. The things that Jesus said and did while he was on this earth are foundational to who he is. And he is the best possible foundationally for us to build our lives on. One of the foundational truths of Jesus is what he taught about forgiveness and how he put forgiveness into practice in his life. This morning, foundational Jesus, Jesus forgives. So should we. First, what can we learn from the life of Jesus on forgiveness? We learn that Jesus forgives. Throughout the Gospels, we see the heart of Jesus for forgiveness. Do you remember in Luke 7 when Jesus forgave the immoral woman? Jesus was having dinner in the home of a Pharisee. When this sinful woman, likely a prostitute, came in and washed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, the Pharisees were indignant, wondering how Jesus would even allow this woman to touch him. But Jesus said, "I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." In John 8, we see the story of the woman caught in adultery. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought her before Jesus and tried to trip him up. They asked Jesus if she should be stoned as the law taught. Jesus didn't respond. Instead, he stooped down and began writing with his finger in the dust. Who knows, maybe he was listing the very sins these men were guilty of. Maybe he was even writing the names of the women that they had been unfaithful with. We don't know. But they kept demanding an answer, so finally Jesus responded, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he continued to write in the dust. Slowly, possibly, as their own guilt was revealed, one by one, these men walked away until there were none. Jesus said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. What graceful forgiveness Jesus gave to this woman. But this morning I'd like to focus on the story of Jesus healing a paralytic man found in Mark chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. Mark 2, 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there were no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Isn't this an incredible story from the life of Jesus? I believe this story reveals much about the heart of Jesus for forgiveness. Large crowds had been following Jesus because of the miracles he had been performing. He'd been casting out demons and healing the sick. But I think primarily Jesus was teaching and preaching. And here in this passage in Mark 2, it tells us that Jesus was in a house so packed full of people that there was no more room. People were crowded around the door even. It was so crammed that those even around the door huddled to just try to look in and see and hear what Jesus had to say. What was Jesus doing? According to verse 3, he was preaching God's word to them. Mark tells us that while Jesus was teaching, these four men carried this man in on a mat. Well, they couldn't get to Jesus. It was too crowded. So they took him up on the roof and they removed a roof tile. They lowered the man to the feet of Jesus in the room below. Can you picture that scene? The moment this crowd saw this man being lowered down through the ceiling, they knew this guy wanted to be healed. But this is where the story takes a surprising turn. Mark tells us in verses 5 through 7, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Of course, those Pharisees thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive. See, rather than immediately healing this man, which Jesus knew he wanted, Jesus does something outrageous and unexpected. He forgives this man of his sins. The Jewish teachers immediately recognize the implications of Jesus' words. Only God can forgive sins. So if Jesus could forgive sins, that meant Jesus is God. However, these religious teachers had rejected Jesus. And so their minds would not allow them to draw this conclusion. But we see in this paralytic man's life-changing event the insight that Jesus has into our hearts. He knew the hardness of the religious leaders' hearts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew that this man had come for healing, but he forgave his sins first because Jesus knew that the greatest need that this man had was far greater than his need to get up and walk. What can we learn from Jesus' life about forgiveness? First, we learn that Jesus forgives. And next, we learn that we should forgive. Last week, I said something about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is a follower of Jesus who is growing to become more like Jesus and is helping others follow and be like him. That means as followers of Jesus, if he forgives, we should forgive. He made this expectation for forgiveness very clear in his teachings. Jesus' teachings point us toward forgiving one another. And there's a reason why. Jesus knows that seeking revenge or getting even doesn't accomplish any good. Jesus knows that holding on to hatred and resentment only breeds more of the same. We need to forgive, if for no other reason than for our own good. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus was teaching to his disciples and he told them, "So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive." In Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, "but 70 times 7. In other words, just keep on forgiving. I think the real kicker on forgiveness comes from the time when the disciples came to Jesus and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. That resulted in what we refer to as the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. And we find that recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This is from the New Living Translation. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9 through 15, "Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let's zero in on verses 12, 14, and 15. This is like a gut punch to me. It's like somebody walking up to me and without warning, punching me in the gut before I have time to react. "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us," Jesus prays. And then Jesus adds, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Did you catch that? We should forgive because our being forgiven is dependent on our forgiving others. Jesus is saying that when we don't forgive people, we will be treated the same way. I like what Laurie McCure had to say about this. She writes, "Yikes. It's as if we're judging them unworthy of the forgiveness we ourselves so freely received, which isn't very smart for those on the receiving end of a truckload of grace. If we want grace, we have to dole it out freely, wholeheartedly." I like that idea. Did you catch it? If we forgive others, in essence, we are giving them grace. Giving forgiveness is an act of giving grace. However, the consequences when we fail to forgive is frightening. Jesus said, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I think we have to conclude that forgiveness is a big deal to Jesus. I don't think he was a fan of the law of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's very much our culture today, isn't it? And that was the religious culture of Jesus' day. Instead, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And it's not just turn the other cheek, but forgive over and over and over and over again. In October 2006, Terry Roberts' 32-year-old son, Charlie, walked into an Army school in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and shot 10 young girls, killing 5 of them before killing himself. I heard the sirens and heard helicopters, Terry Roberts said. My phone was ringing and it was my husband. And he said, you have to get to Charlie's right away. And I looked at my husband with these sunken eyes just saying, it was Charlie. It could not be, she said, shaking her head and with tears in her eyes. It truly was. It was our son. Robert's initial reaction was that they would have to move away. But the Amish came to her the night of the shooting to say they wanted her to stay. Some of the victims' families attended her son's funeral. There are not words to describe how that made us feel that day, said Roberts. For the mother and father who had lost not just one but 2 daughters at the hand of our son to come up and be the first ones to greet us. Wow. Is there anything in this life we should not forgive? Roberts now shares this message with those who have experienced trauma. And every Thursday, she's been caring for the most seriously wounded survivor of that shooting. Forgiveness. It's the very core of our Christian faith and represents love in the highest form. Yet it can be so challenging to extend forgiveness to those who wrong us. Just hours after his 6-year-old daughter was gunned down in the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting, Robbie Parker bravely stood in front of the cameras to publicly forgive the gunman who took his daughter's and 26 others' lives. With a trembling voice and tear-stained face, he offered this statement on forgiveness. We'd like to offer our deepest condolences to all the families who are directly affected by this shooting. It's a horrific tragedy, and we want everybody to know that our hearts and our prayers go out to them. This includes the family of the shooter, and I can't imagine how hard this experience must be for you. I want you to know that our family and our love and our support go out to you as well. And he continued, as we move on from what happened here, what happened to so many people, let it not turn into something that defines us, but something that inspires us to be better, to be more compassionate and more humble people. Let that sink in. Well, here are some thoughts I have this morning on forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but a decision. Forgiveness is our decision to accept God's grace to let go of the hurt due to the sins committed against us and to express this by acts of mercy and love toward the ones who have offended us. Forgiving offenses against us does not mean that we have amnesia, but that we are going to put the offense behind us. And we are not going to hold the offense against the person who sinned against us. Rather, we will replace ill will with goodwill. Forgiving a person who has wronged us is never easy, but dwelling on those events and reliving them over and over will have negative effect on our well-being. And lastly, when we learn to forgive, we are no longer trapped by the action of others and can finally feel free. So let me ask you this morning, where are you when it comes to forgiveness? And there are really two sides to that question. The first side is, are you forgiven? God provides the greatest example of forgiveness that we'll ever know by sending his son, who knew no sin, to die for us. Just moments before Jesus took his last breath, he begged his father to forgive the men who were brutally taking his life. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know the forgiveness that comes through accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? If not, we offer the chance for you to start your life fresh today, forgiven. Jesus can do that for you. The other side of forgiveness is hard. Who do you need to forgive? All of us who follow Jesus need to learn the grace of forgiveness. Jesus wouldn't have commanded it if it wasn't possible for us to do. But we can do it with the help of his Holy Spirit. So I challenge you this morning to look in your heart. Don't be satisfied if you're holding on to bitterness and resentment. Surrender your heart to God and let him fill your heart with forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your son. We're thankful for his heart of forgiveness. Father, we are so thankful that, compelled by your love, that you gave us your son so that we could have our sins forgiven, and in turn that we can learn the grace of forgiving others. Father, I pray that you will use the words from your heart this morning, that we would know the forgiveness that comes through your son, and that we would learn to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Father, we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.